Thanks very much, and a very big thank you to everybody who is still in this room, because we are the end of this conference, aren't we? So for the next 15 minutes, I want to give you an overview of what we are doing at NIEHS with regards to global environmental health and describe a kind of burgeoning set of efforts that have been going on. I have no financial relationships to disclose, at least not to any of you. And what I'm going to try to do in my comments is to provide, first of all, a little bit of an overview, talk about the environmental global burden of disease and kind of what's been going on over the last 10 years with that, because at NIEHS we're really focusing on that as a prioritization tool for our research and our research translation activities. And then I'm going to describe our program, and what I want to focus on are two specific ways in which we are trying to apply our science and apply what we've been doing for many years at NIEHS to some specific global health policy arenas to provide a kind of a research translation function, one on the global health efforts on non-communicable diseases and the other on the UN agenda setting for the post-2015 sustainable and whatever comes after the Millennium Development Goals. So NIEHS, for those of you not familiar with the Institute, is kind of doubly unique among the institutes and centers of the National Institutes of Health, of which we are one. We're the only one that's not in Maryland. So our institute is geographically unique down in North Carolina, but more importantly, we are philosophically in many ways unique in that our institute is the only one that is completely dedicated to prevention and really what we call primary prevention at NIEHS, which is the prevention of exposure to environmental agents. So that kind of sets us apart, and that's the setting with which we come to the whole issue of global health and global environmental health. Many of the other institutes and centers have really important activities related to environmental exposures and primary prevention, but most of them are more dedicated to traditional biomedical research, the development of diagnostic tools and interventions. I'll just keep going on. So many of you have probably seen this slide if you have been involved in global environmental health. This is from the World Health Organization analysis in 2006. I was trying to come up with an attributable fraction of the global burden of disease associated with environmental exposures. This is based on the last global burden of disease report from about 2000, I think, is when that was done, and with additional analytic work on top of it. And the definition of environmental disease here was pretty broad, and if you look at what the attributable burden is really caused by, a lot of this was really water sanitation issues and, to a certain extent, indoor air issues. It also included, I believe, things like smoking and injuries. And so the findings they had at that point were that there was, you know, a range, but it's a range within a fairly significant level. It averaged about 23% around the world, as high as 40% in some of the poorer countries, again, primarily driven by water and sanitation issues. And with children also having an especially high attributable burden of environmental disease up around that 40% level. And you can see from the color coding there that it was primarily the highest levels are seen in Africa and Southern Asia associated with poverty primarily. And this was, I'm sorry about the size of this, but this was a graph kind of showing the relationship between the environmental fraction for specific health outcomes and the non-environmental fraction. So the dark green are is the attributable amount related to environment. The lighter blue is the non-environment. And I just wanted to point out, again, as of this analysis, this combined a lot of communicable diseases or infectious diseases. So these are the list of infectious diseases, diarrheal diseases, pneumonia, malaria, et cetera. And it also included the non-communicable diseases. But they're further down on the list. You can see that a lot of the burden, again, was really associated with infectious diarrhea and pneumonia. And the NCDs like COPD, and the second one is, I think, ischemic heart disease. I can barely read it. Were recorded, but lower down the list. And as all of you know, we are undergoing an epidemiological transition around the world with a growing prevalence of non-communicable diseases. We have by no means eradicated the scourge of communicable diseases. This is still an ongoing battle, but the importance of communicable diseases, especially in poor countries and in developing countries, has grown over the decade, and this is something that we all have to be addressing. And so I'm still struggling with coming up with the really good graphics from the current Global Burden of Disease report. I've been digging around that website for a while. And so this is my one representation of that, but I just wanted to update that to the current Global Burden of Disease report, which focused on a slightly different set of risks, so it's not exactly comparable. The most salient things to me about the Global Burden of Disease report now is that diarrheal diseases have gone way, way down in terms of their burden, their relative burden of death and disease around the world, and so has pneumonia. Primarily on the one hand because of sanitation, primarily on the other hand because of vaccination and treatment, actually, because the exposures haven't gone down everywhere to a large degree to air pollutants when it comes to pneumonia. So this is one graph showing the burden of global disability adjusted life years lost as one measure of burden. This reflects a little bit more the age of the population than just showing you deaths per se. And you can see that within the current global burden of disease, what really jumps out is the air pollution and the impact of air pollution on both infectious disease and pneumonia and more prominently. And this is driven largely by advancement in the science, actually. Between the last Global Burden of Disease report and this Global Burden of Disease report, we figured out that ambient air pollution and particulate matter kills a lot of people because of cardiovascular disease. We didn't have that before. So that really changed the numbers and changed the attributable global burden of disease. And now air pollution just jumps out as far and above the most significant environmental contributor to the global burden of disease. And I'll just, it's hard to see there, but sanitation is like ninth from the bottom now. So that's a little bit of background on the global burden of disease. As I said, our strategic plan really tries to key off of the global burden of disease and to focus on research translation efforts that will address those problems that are most prominent and the largest contributors to death and disease around the world. And don't have time to go into the intricate details of the structure of our strategic plan. I'm just indicating that global environmental health and global issues are explicitly called out within our strategic plan, even though we are a domestically focused institution. And so we have a global environmental health program that has been developing over the past couple of years. This is the definition of global environmental health we use. And I'll just point out that we have four main areas. It's research, education, research translation, and capacity building, training. Again, don't have the language in here, but we're really trying to key ourselves to those environmental health problems that are the greatest in the countries with the greatest burden of environmentally attributable disease, the low and middle income countries. So this is a very simplified logic model. At NIEHS, we bring a lot of research to bear. We have three different main divisions within NIEHS. We have our extramural grants, which have a lot of centers and a lot of fundamental epidemiologic research and basic science research on air pollution and other exposures. We have one of the larger proportionally intramural research branches that does a lot of global epidemiology. We also have the National Toxicology Program. Those are our three main divisions. So we bring all of that that research, those partnerships to bear on this problem. With the middle box there is kind of the activity categories we have of research support, research translation, training, and international leadership. And our main goals are trying to improve the understanding of the environmental causes of disease around the world, really getting this into the global health world to increase capacity for global environmental health research and research translation around the world, and also to integrate this thinking, integrate this understanding. As Agnes mentioned, we don't control the means of exposure, if you will, that contributes greatest to this burden of disease. We have to be working with other sectors, and so it's very important for us to get this understanding and this information into the processes that are determining the trajectory of the energy sector, the transportation sector, the urban sector, et cetera. And so just quickly, because I know I'm going to run out of time, these are some of the categories of research that we have addressing these key issues. We have a very robust research program on indoor air pollution and combustion of biomass, which is our main portfolio linking to infectious diseases traditionally, and currently we don't have a very large portfolio on water and sanitation within NIEHS. And then on the non-communicable disease side, I just want to point out a couple of things. We have a very long and robust history of funding air pollution research. We have a growing program on climate change impacts. But one of the important areas that our institute is really leading the world in many ways on is looking at the impact of chemical exposures that occur early in life, in fact, before life, prenatally, and even maternal exposures, and looking at the impact of those exposures on later life adult diseases, many of which are either risk factors for or are actually the major non-communicable diseases. So looking at metabolic diseases, obesity, diabetes, propensity for lung disease and asthma, and even propensity for our cardiovascular disease. Because we're going to come back to that. So one of the exciting things that I can say here, I didn't know I was going to say this when I put that abstract in 11 months ago, was that NIEHS has just recently been designated as a collaborating center of the World Health Organization. We're very pleased to be working with Agnes and Paho as our regional contact. And this is a kind of a simplified, set of goals for what our collaborating center will do. It's really the organizing vehicle for our global environmental health program now in many ways. And we are focusing on five areas: coordination on children's environmental health issues, activities on climate change and human health, this issue of developmental origins of health and disease that I just referred to, air pollution, and some activities on e-waste. And these are some of the specific activities that we have in our work plan. We're working broadly with the other environmental health centers focused on children's environmental health to try to coordinate research activities, research translation activities. We are also looking to bring into that WHO network our own network that we share with EPA, a very robust network of children's environmental health centers. And we're doing work on joint workshops, partnering in training, capacity building, et cetera. So let me just go back for a second to the global burden of disease and just point out some language about how the science activities and the global burden of disease links to some of these policy agendas. So what gets measured gets done is a truism that people say time and time again in these big global goals and indicators kinds of arenas. And the global burden of disease has analyzed what was the trajectory, what were the trends of those diseases that were called out as goals and indicators in the MDGs, and that was maternal and child health, it was early life mortality, and they note that those things that were called out as goals have been declining very rapidly. The things that were not called out are getting worse. And so it just points again for those of us caring about primary prevention and environmental health that we need to be part of that discussion and get our information into those goal setting exercises. We can talk about that in discussion afterwards if you want more details about what that entails. This is a slide, it's a little bit complicated, but I put it up there just because of the wide array of childhood, adolescent, and adult health outcomes that have been associated with early life exposures. Not all of these can be very clearly linked to chemicals. Some of this has to do with early life nutritional exposures or other kinds of stressors, but almost all of the major non-communicable diseases and major health threats are increasingly being linked to developmental exposures, early developmental exposures. So some of the activities that we've been doing in this have been partnering with PAHO, partnering with the World Health Organization in Geneva, to bring to the UN Sustainable Development Goals process credible information on environmental health relationships to the other sector's main goals. Part of this was a workshop that we held about a year ago, June, with the World Health Organization that resulted in a series of briefing papers for the different sectors on the linkages to environmental health and proposed indicators. We have ongoing activities with that, a manuscript that's just being submitted now to The Lancet that addresses some of these issues. And we had a really wonderful series of webinars in this past year, and we're planning to continue that with PAHO, where we bring in speakers and have communication, you know, with health ministries and with, you know, some of the governmental health agencies around the world, especially in the Americas, bringing this to bear on this discussion. And according to Agnes, we are actually getting somewhere. And in this process, as we move now to the countries actually submitting their positions, some of the countries are picking this up and putting it into their submissions, or at least considering it in their submissions. We'll see how far it goes. So we're very excited about that. Just a little self-plug, we have a global environmental health newsletter where we discuss a lot of these issues, and it comes out every other month. Our next one will be delayed a little bit by the furlough, but it will be coming out in I think, early December. And if you are interested, you can go to oneusa.gov, GAEH News, and find out how to subscribe, or just go to our website and you'll track your way through to our global environmental health program. So in conclusion, the global burden of disease studies show that the environmentally attributable burden is really substantial. We've kind of transitioned in the last 10 years from a situation dominated by poor sanitation and water quality to one dominated by air pollution, but they're still both very, very important, and then there are other kinds of exposures that add to that. We have a situation where the NCDs are on the rise, and I haven't talked as much about the policy aspects of that, but most of the prevention is focused around four adult risk factors. It's about smoking, tobacco, physical activity, and adult nutrition. And there's a real need to make sure that we take into account these early developmental exposures because they are predisposing, and so that's an issue for us to be working on. And then getting this into the Sustainable Development Goals to really go upstream and get at those primary exposures is a very important piece of our translation. So thanks for your attention, and I look forward to any kind of discussion we can have.